Brandon can't even see me over there. I'm in a different microphone because I'm a little bit away from my buddies today. I've got a cold, and so I'm not going to breathe on you guys, and Brandon can't see me through the glass, but we're going to get through this. Hey, Strewman here, the Four Outdoorsman. It is Sunday, and I love Sundays between 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock because I'm with two of my best friends.
The Wolf Pack.
Brandon and Mark. And
nice.
Sam's here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm with three of my best friends. How you guys doing, man?
I was good.
You were good. Yeah, you were good.
I'm good.
I'm doing good. Do you notice it's kind of hazy out? Is that from the fires out west or what?
I don't think so. I think that's impossible to go 2,000 miles. I could be wrong.
I heard it's going all the way to Europe. Like, it goes really far. But I wasn't sure if that was happening here or it was south more. But it seems, doesn't it seem hazy out?
It does. The past few days are definitely hazy.
Well, I thought I was sick.
Yeah. Nope. No. It's a smoke.
I probably got the black lung.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I know we have we live in a great country and we have America is a great, great country. But how do we keep helping financially to all these disasters? Where does all this money come from?
It's a good question.
You know, I mean, it's got to be insurmountable. There's not an unlimited supply of funds to say, okay, we're going to help you guys get through this. And then you go to Sheboygan and help the Wiener people get, because they lost their business as well. Yeah, but where does it come from?
It's a good question, too, especially with everything that's been happening this year. You know, where all the money is.
You just keep borrowing it, right?
Yeah, pretty much. What's $18 trillion when you're at $17 trillion? Yeah. Am I right?
What's the difference? You ever see that thing at maybe it's Times Square. I'm not even sure anymore. I always have the right story, but I get the facts all screwed up. Yes. But there's that meter that shows how our debt's going up.
Yeah. Does it reset like a tachometer does? If it hits $100 trillion, it just goes to zero.
Yeah.
And we're all good.
I have one of those on my phone for my personal debt.
Yeah. And it never goes backwards, right?
It's just ticking slowly.
Yeah.
Exactly. He was in Florida last week. Sam was in Florida last week, hotter than heck. He said he's sweating like a son of a gun. And he wanted to cool off. He just put his wash up to his face, so the spinning numbers just gave him all this cool
exactly.
lid.
Yeah. It was a nice breeze from my debt calculator.
Any bears, Sam? Did you go bear hunting this week?
I didn't. I kind of had a busy week with work getting back from Florida. I had a lot of catch up, but no bear. We had, I was busy with work. Had a couple birthdays this weekend. I got my niece, Sophie. We actually celebrated her birthday today. It was earlier this week. So happy birthday, Sophie. And then my sister-in-law, Annie, is her birthday yesterday, or Friday.
Your family's too big, man.
It is.
Or are all their birthdays in this month?
No. I mean, it's cold winter. His birthdays are usually in the fall, right?
Yes.
Yes. But yeah, happy birthday to Sophie and Annie. So yeah, we do have a lot of birthdays.
Got a lot of money. You must have a lot of money. Pay a lot of.
No, I mean, you just got to be smart about it. It seems like we have a lot of birthdays, but it's just because we celebrate everyone.
Hey, we're talking about bear hunting for a second here, but the this is an old story from last year, kind of, but I'm bringing it up because it's in the paper again today about the man who poached a bear by the Red Lake Reservation
last year,
a 700-pound bear. Here's the story.
That's a big bear.
That's a big bear. A man accused of shooting a 700-pound black bear on the Red Lake Indian Reservation in Minnesota and removing his head pleaded guilty Thursday, although his lawyer alleges that only half of the federal government's story is accurate. The guy's name is Brett Stimmick, 41 of Brainerd. He pleaded guilty to misdemeanor charges of wildlife trafficking and trespassing on Indian land. Prosecutors have said he killed the bear with a compound bow near the reservation's garbage dump, came back later to remove the bear's head for a trophy, the head and the feet, took a couple of pounds of meat, he left it there, but his attorney, Brian, saying, well, Stimek originally lied about shooting the bear. He had too much pride, but he found the animal dead. It was already dead.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, he found the animal dead, and he put the arrow in it. Took his head and his feet.
He just jabbed it with an arrow.
Yeah, sure. He just took selfies and all that kind of crap.
What the story doesn't say is he shot it like 3 weeks before the season.
Was that right?
Yeah. I remember this last year.
So how many rules can we break in one go?
Yeah. Now they got him for trespassing is all they got him for right now. But.
So I remember the story last year, actually. And the Outdoor News put his picture on the front page without knowing the story. And then they came out, like, I think a couple
weeks
later.
They said, man shoots huge bear kind of deal?
Yes, because he came out, like, opener, like, yeah, I shot this bear in opener. He put it all over his Facebook. And then the story must have leaked. And he deleted his Facebook, deleted all this stuff. And then it came out that he's like, a felon. Like he, like, you know, his sister and ex sister in law came out. It was like, yeah, he was horrible to my sister. This guy's world just crashed.
Yeah.
But it was like 3 or 4 weeks before the season that he shot it.
You know, I can't understand that. I just can't understand. I know people poach, but to pretend like you shot a 700-pound bear and get all the fame and glory and all of that and accolades and. And then it doesn't make any sense to me.
What's the average size of a bear that you would shoot?
In Minnesota, the average is like 180 pounds.
Really?
Oh,
so
yeah.
This was like
seven bills is big. Yeah.
The state, it would have been the state record.
Really?
Yeah. And he shot it on Red Lake, which
if
Red
you're
Lake
poach
there's no bear hunting.
A bear, I would not brag about, you know.
Yeah.
Especially because you know how much attention it's going to get if it's that big.
No, shooting an eagle is a different story.
Yeah.
You know, like you can pick that. Put it in your trunk, you know, and no one knows about
big
it.
Big drumsticks.
Big drumsticks, yeah.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Like, Red Lake is, the bear are sacred, and they're not allowed to be hunted. He shot it on in the Red Lake Reservation, too, which is also...
Yikes.
Yeah.
Does he deserve jail time?
I don't know if he deserves jail time. I would take his privilege to hunt away from him.
And fine him substantially,
yeah.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, I would let Red Lake Reservation give him the...
yeah, you got to be careful. What can they do to him? Yeah, you got to be careful.
Well, I mean, it was on their reservation. Yeah. They should get involved in it for sure.
I agree.
But yeah, I would take his hunting license away.
I agree. Good week, Mark. You went fishing today.
Yeah, I got a big fishing report.
Daddy Dave is in town, right?
Yeah, my dad came into town on Thursday and is staying through tomorrow. So we went out in the North Metro yesterday and today. Today was a wash. It was so windy. It's so hard to fish. Especially with spot lock and stuff when it's that windy. And we found yesterday that the fish were starting to school up in the deep. So the crappies are like 25, 30 feet of water. They're all schooled up, so in huge bunches. So we'd drive around, look for a school, and I'd throw a jig and stuff. Now, Nick was having problems bouncing the jig off the bottom. He didn't know when he was on the bottom. And so I rigged up a slip bobber. And tried to do that today. It was just so windy that it was a wash. I shouldn't even gone out there. But anyway, the fish, we caught a walleye, we caught a big bass and a bunch of crappies yesterday. The fish are schooling up and they're deep. So I know that they're starting to do that now and they're there. So if you're going crappie fishing, check deep because we'd just basically drive around and there'd be in huge piles. Nothing with size, but it was fun catch anyway.
Now, since you're the fishing guy, this threesome right here, tell me what to
That's
do on.
Scary.
I know. Tell me what to do on Friday and Saturday, Lake of the Woods. Got six of us going up there.
Lake of the Woods. Well, you know the old Lake of the Woods gold deal. You know it's dark water, so I would use gold or bright colors for sure. I don't know. I'm assuming they're kind of on the first or second break, so. I haven't been up there, so you're going to have to get... We have a lot of guests that are better up there than I am. So
yes, yes,
don't
do.
Ask me. I've only open water fished there once, and that was with you last
year.
We'll
do have some of our guests, listeners, do shout-outs to you and give me some tips for Friday
that
and Saturday.
That was a fun trip, though. I'm jealous. You're going to have a great time, for sure. Yeah.
You should definitely try your boob jigs.
Oh, I'm going to do that. I'm going to film that, and I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to tell people you don't have to be a great fisherman to catch fish.
So where are you staying, all that stuff? Give us some hot
details.
Staying
at Ballard's Resort. Got a good deal. Six of us going up there for $120 a piece, 3 nights.
That's a great deal.
Includes breakfast. And, we got to pay $20 a day for the boat slip or something like that. But
are you going to get a guide at all? Remember our great guide trip in Devil's Lake?
Yeah, I don't
know.
My son Mike has been up there enough, and
yeah,
he knows that
Mike
lake
knows
pretty
what's
well.
Going on.
So, but Dan Boris is trying to convince me. Dan Boris is a good friend of ours, and he's... been trying to convince me to get a guide, and James Earhart, my buddy with the 100-pound sturgeon, is the guy who was up. He's up there a lot. He fishes up there a lot, and he's got a guy named Lions. I forget his first name. It could be. It's a good name for a fisher, for a guide.
Lions.
To fish with Lions, yeah. I forget his first name, and he tried to put me in touch with him yesterday, but he hasn't gotten back to me. He said, "You got to use him. You got to use him." Well, I don't know. I'd do it, but I don't know if the other guys would want to fork up $100 to go fishing. When I don't think they will, but.
Yeah. Who else is bringing a boat up?
Nick Fairbanks. You got to have friends like that. Nick Fairbanks has a nice boat. My son Mike's got a nice boat, and I'm pretty good at BSing. So you got to have two people have boats, and that's we're home free right now.
What dates are you going up?
We're leaving Thursday, coming home Sunday, and I'll be home Sunday for the show.
Okay.
Yeah. So and the weather this week is supposed to be in the 80s.
Yeah,
I saw that. It's crazy.
Yeah. Can you get off work, Mark, and play a round of golf?
No, I cannot.
Attaboy. April, April, he's winking right now.
Actually, I'm taking my annual golf trip with my friends this weekend to Wisconsin Dells area. So I'm going to play four rounds and be back for the show. But I'm excited for that. I don't get to see my friends from college a lot because we all have young children and we're scattered around the cities and everything. So
I can see when your wives divorce you because of all of your shenanigans, you guys would be like the odd couple. You know, Felix and Unger living together, you know.
My wife will never leave me.
I don't think she will. Yeah.
I won't let her.
I'm actually traveling next weekend, too. I'm going fishing up at Leech Lake with our annual father-son trip with my dad, Brian, my Uncle Mike, Pete and Joe, and Nick. I'm excited.
Wow.
We're going Leech Lake. And we are getting a guide for one
good
day. After that experience we had at Devil's Lake, my brother and Pete and Joe were talking, and Joe said, should we get a guide? And I said, yes, absolutely. Yeah. Just because, you know, you want to for sure catch some walleyes, you know. So,
well, when you only have a couple days on the lake and we don't go up there all the time, it's like you're going to spend a lot of your time trying to find them, right, if you don't know where to go. So,
right.
I would do it. So then guides love this. Just mark GPS wherever you get on a spot.
Yeah, yeah.
Break out the Navionics and mark it.
Yeah. I bet people do it like crazy.
Sam's got family members that are wearing a top hat and mustache and sunglasses behind him, you know, behind the guide. And
put a tracker on his boat.
Yeah, that's funny.
What do they call that when you you trail somebody? Isn't there a term for that?
Wood ticking.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
I had that today. The lake was wide open, and some guy buzzed probably 20 feet from the boat. And I'm just like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah. Ugh. Were you catching fish?
No, but I look like I know what I'm doing, so people tend to follow me. And I have our Four Outdoorsman sticker, so they assume I'm a pro.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a must. They probably thought you were a guide.
Well, we have a couple shout-outs here we can get through. Let's thank Bill Katz for signing on for another year. Katz Covers, we're really excited to have him back on. It was great having him as a sponsor last year, and he's always traveling. He's always traveling up north, so it's great to have him on as a guest. It looks like he went out and got a nice basket of sunnies this weekend. And then John Marshall says, huge thank you to the SATT for a great event on Pelican Lake in Orr, Minnesota. Cambridge Isanti student anglers tried to put a herd on the bass this weekend, finished 18th overall, a total of 84 boats. That's a lot of boats. Caden Marshall, Chad Lant, Zach Pischer and Cole Semler. Great picture, guys. Thanks for writing in.
I tell you what, since Sam's going to be gone next week and Bill Katz is one more time committed to be our sponsor, how about having him in studio?
Let's do it.
Yeah. We'll see what he's got to say.
For sure. Yeah. So what else happened?
Long ways, though. He lives in Woodbury or someplace. I forget.
I got a quick little shout out. Yeah. My niece, Haley, has texted me like 1,000 times because I said Sophie. So I got to say Haley. Shout out to all my nieces, Haley, Emily, Sophie, and Josie.
Yeah, I've got a shout out to one of the Minnesota senior softball teams, the Minnesota Merchants. They're Major or Major Plus.
Oh, yeah.
You know all those guys.
Yes, sir.
Kurtnick and the boys and all that. Well, they just won a tournament in St. George, Utah.
Oh, nice.
And finished undefeated. They just wrapped it up about half an hour ago. I just got the text, and congratulations to the Minnesota Merchants. Boy, if you haven't seen really good senior softball. I'm not sure if they're 55s or whatever, but they're in the ballpark. These guys are all animals. They're just great, great athletes and all good guys. So congratulations to the Minnesota Merchants.
It's fun to watch those guys, too, because they're all just veterans. They know what to do and what not to do, and they're all, you know, great ball players. Yeah. It's fun to watch.
And you're one of them, right?
The Minnesota Merchants?
No, but you could be one of those great ball players.
Yeah, when I'm 55.
Yeah.
Just sitting by and wait.
Yeah, I'm holding out for senior ball.
Sandbagging.
I was telling Mark what I was doing last week. My wife and I, of course, spent some time at the cabin. I played 36 holes on Thursday, played a skins with a bunch of guys. And Mark said, oh, God, I can't wait till I'm retired. I said, tell you what, buddy, be patient because it comes a lot quicker than you think. And when you get here, you wish you weren't here. So
speaking of
good
golf,
and bad. No. I'll tell you what. Do me a favor. I mean this sincerely. I taped the U.S. Open. If anyone knows the don't anybody text me or nothing, I'm going to go home and watch it. So
I know who won, I won't say.
All right.
All I was bringing up, speaking of golf, because
okay.
I know.
All right.
It was Stru's birthday this week.
It was.
We didn't say happy birthday on air.
Happy
one
birthday,
and
Stru.
A two.
Happy birthday. Come on,
to
Brandon.
You.
Happy birthday to you.
This is awkward.
Happy birthday, dear Stru man. Happy birthday to you.
This is your birthday song. It isn't very long. Hey.
Hey.
I don't know that one.
That's
Jesus
my little
Lord,
thing.
Who was that?
I wasn't expecting happy birthday to break out there, but happy
birthday,
buddy.
Tell the world how old you turned.
Hard to believe that I am 69 years old. I'm going to play 70 senior softball next year. Can you believe that?
Good for you.
I'll be the only guy on my team without a walker. But
are you going to be designated pinch runner every time?
No, you can only run once an inning. They have rules. Okay. They have rules.
Well, congrats on your birthday.
Yeah.
You look very young for your age.
It looks great.
God's been good to me. My gorgeous wife, Diana, takes care of me, and she keeps me young, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, you look good, Stu. I'm honored to be your friend.
Aww. Well, hopefully, I was telling people, you know, wearing masks all the time, not all the time, but in grocery stores. I went to a funeral yesterday, by the way, at the Lake Elmo Preserve. It's like a beautiful, beautiful park. I don't know, just gorgeous, bunch of trails and campsites and all of that. And they had the service or whatever, the function in one of those canopy deals, whatever.
A gazebo?
Yeah, kind of like that. And they're all wearing masks. And I says, you know, what really bothers me about having to wear a mask is you guys don't know how good looking I really am.
That's awesome.
Nice. Yeah. Well, who do we have on tonight, boys? Let's preview our next couple segments.
You're first, buddy.
Yeah, at 6:20, we got a good, very good friend of mine, Casey Betzelt, is the owner of Operator Coffee.
Wait. Coffee? What's coffee got to do with the outdoors?
Casey's from Idaho originally.
Yes.
He's a huge hunter. He was elk hunting earlier this year. He was hunting in Texas already this year. He's been deep sea fishing, so he's an outdoorsman.
I want to talk to that guy.
Yeah, but he's a good veteran, does a lot for the veteran community. So hunting or not hunting, we should always support our veterans.
We
true.
Do, yeah.
Agreed.
Clint Fitzgerald is a conservation officer from Rochester. He's been in the business for about 3-4 years, and he and his partner, Annette Kylo, I think it is, they got a call from a landowner early September, and there's two deer fighting. Bucks were locked up, and they had to watch for a while, and they did what they could to try to get these things apart. It's a very interesting story. Send us a video. We'll try to share that as well, but it's a great story. So Clint Fitzgerald's going to talk about being a conservation officer, what it takes to pull two deer apart.
Big deer, too.
Big deer.
Oh, yeah.
In Minnesota.
Yeah, of course. It's southern Minnesota.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back soon.
Just enjoying Bob Outdoors with the four outdoorsmen on a Sunday evening. It's a good thing.
Hey, Stru Man here for Devil's Lake Tourism. It's not a secret that Devil's Lake is known for fantastic fishing, but now is the time for you to double up with your annual Cast and Blast. Devil's Lake is also known for some of the best bird hunting in this country, so hey, you can shoot a few pheasants in the morning and maybe catch a few walleyes in the afternoon. That, my friends, is just about the perfect day. Hey, bring your fishing rod, bring your shotgun, bring your family. For more information, simply go to devilslakend.com. Hey, and thanks.
Hear ye, hear ye. The Second Amendment lives. Crocodile Productions' Gun and Knife Show is back. This Saturday and Sunday at the Cato Ballroom. New guns, old guns, accessories, antiques, and more. Open Saturday 9 to 5 and Sunday 9 to 3. Only $5 per day. Kids under 12 free with an adult. That's this Saturday and Sunday at the Cato Ballroom. Visit CrocodileProductions.com for details. That's CrocodileProductions.com.
Mark here, host of the Four Outdoorsmen for my friends at Power Lodge, located right down the street from our studio on Highway 10 in Ramsey. Adventure is calling. Hit the open road on a brand new Can-Am Spyder or Ryker. These machines are tons of fun. For a limited time, get a rebate of up to $1,000, plus financing from 2.99 for 60 months on select 2020 Can-Am on-road models at Power Lodge in Ramsey. Visit Power Lodge on Highway 10, call 763-576-1706, or shop 24/7 at powerlodge.com.
Get a $100 gift card for only $50 at DealsOnRadio.com for a trade, upgrade, or repair to your smartphone or computer at Device Pit Stop in Maple Grove.
Deals on Radio. Deals on Radio.
If you owe back taxes, there's a lot you need to know, starting with rule number one. Don't mess with the IRS. They are cracking down this year by sending out heart-stopping letters, actively garnishing paychecks, levying bank accounts, and putting liens on homes and businesses. That's all true. But it's also true there's a way out. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative, an important government program for tax debt assistance. It's one of the biggest breaks the IRS has ever offered, so now's the time. You could qualify for tax relief that saves you thousands, even tens of thousands. Nobody knows this program like the award-winning experts at Optima Tax Relief. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and will fight to get you the best deal possible. Don't mess with the IRS. For tax help you need, for tax help you can trust, call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-574-9188. 800-574-9188. 800-574-9188.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Total Country Bob FM.
Welcome back, everybody. Strewman, Lukey, Sam, Brandon. I tell you what, Brandon.
Yes, sir.
You got somebody on the phone, don't you?
I do.
Sam, bring him in, would you? He's your buddy.
He is my buddy. I'm honored to call him my buddy. Mr. Casey Betzel. Do you there, my man?
I'm here. What's up, guys?
How you doing today?
I'm good.
Good, good, good. So Casey, for the listeners, is the owner of Operator Coffee. Why don't you give our listeners a little bit of background? First, let's give them your background. Where'd you get your start?
I'm from Idaho, and I grew up in Idaho and graduated from university there and went into the Air Force, was an officer in the Air Force for 7 years, and then have been in the outdoor industry in some capacity since 2007. So worked at a number of companies in the industry and bought Operator Coffee here a little over 2 years ago.
Awesome. So give us a little bit of a brief, 10,000 view of what the mission of Operator Coffee is.
Yeah, so Operator Coffee was founded by a military operator, also an Air Force guy. He and I had come into contact through a veteran first responder networking group, another item business that I started here several years ago. And he and his young wife had got into, life situations of starting a family, and the business was young and was just pulling a little bit too much time from them. And so they decided they needed to make a change, and that it was an opportunity for me to keep that mission going, which was really focused on PTS and helping, coffee being a social item. His initial vision and thought process was bringing veterans together in a space where they could visit, reconnect, post-military. It's sometimes tough to make a transition for some guys and gals, and that was his initial vision. And so we've done our best to try to carry that thought process on being a great mission and surrounding it around something as common and everyday as coffee, which is a big part of our culture here in the U.S.
Hi, Casey. This is Mark Lukey, one of the co-hosts here, and I just wanted to remind our listeners. So I work for Ron Share Productions, and we produce a show called Made for the Outdoors on Fox Sports North in Wisconsin, and it also airs on Sportsman's Channel. And we highlighted Operator Coffee this week. It aired yesterday, but it's going to be airing all this week on Fox Sports North and Fox Sports Wisconsin. So if you want to see how Operator Coffee is made, and there's some great interviews about the mission. And so it's made here locally, right in the Twin Cities, a company called Driven Coffee, who are really great people. I spent a couple days with them and learned how to make coffee, which I had no idea about. But it's a fascinating process. So I want to remind everybody to check that out this week. It's going to be playing probably four or five more times. So, and then it'll be replayed in Q4. So,
awesome.
Thank you for being a part of that. And I'll send you the episode to take a look at it. It turned out really great. And I appreciate you being a part of that. And thank you for everything you do for veterans, because it is a great cause.
Yeah, hey, absolutely.
Mark, what channel is that on?
So it's Fox Sports North, so whatever provider you have. So it'll be replayed this week probably four or five times. So check it out.
Hey, Casey, Steve Struzinski, I left you a message. Thanks again for being on the Four Outdoorsman. We have a lot of fun here. Operation Fishing Freedom reminded me of you. I like to catch that show every once in a while. And it's a great emotional one-half-hour story about guys who are going through having trouble getting to the next level after being in the military and going through some concerns. And you have kind of the same mission. How are you going to get the word out? The coffee business seems like it's – how do you break into that, make money, and sell stuff? That's an awful business.
The coffee business is huge in the U.S., and we've seen the demographic of coffee drinkers. I mean, when I was coming up and growing up and I didn't start drinking coffee till I was in college and needed to pull an all-nighter. And, you know, my kids coming up behind me started drinking coffee at 12 and 13
yeah.
because of Starbucks and Dutch Brothers has kind of transformed the flavored coffee and coffee drink business in the U.S. And so the coffee business is actually growing. Lots and lots of little small batch roasters, kind of like there's craft breweries and small batch distilleries. It's kind of in that same thought process of you can do this in a small capacity and build some really, really quality product. And so we've been fortunate to partner with Driven and find a partner on the roasting side that just does a great job on making great coffee. And, we've focused on building the brand, and we've focused on partnering with some great nonprofits. And one of our most popular roasts is a roast called Roast 22, which represents the 22 veterans on average a day that commit suicide due to PTS and other mental stressful situations, really on that transition. And it's, you know, I'm fortunate enough for my time in the service to never have had to go through anything super traumatic. But I've also been fortunate to get to know a lot of the guys and gals that have come back that have gone through some really tough things. And if we can bring awareness to that, that's the first step. And then getting a hold of those folks and getting them plugged in. And coffee is such a great social product. You know, 400 million cups of coffee consumed in the country every day. So it seems like a great way to engage with each other, to have a conversation. A lot of people sit down at coffee shops in the morning, have a conversation or talk over their morning cup at home or at work. And so the idea there is it's a great place to tie the mission together. So on Roast 22, we partner with a group called Support a Group Out of Every Bag Sold called Oath, which is the Outdoor Association of True Heroes, one of the great nonprofits we work with. And a percentage of every bag of that sold goes to Oath to help them with their mission, so which aligns with the overall mission of Operator Coffee. So lots of opportunity to kind of cross lines there with other vets that are out doing the same thing.
Well, Casey, it's great that you have a company that's not only local here, but it supports good cause. You know, it's like the coffee is great, and why not buy from a company that supports something like this than the coffee giants that probably send money in lots of ways that I don't agree with. So it's good to know that there's a choice out there for people, and it's great coffee. And if you're going to buy coffee, why not buy it locally, and why not buy it for a good cause? You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And on top of that, the coffee is actually fantastic.
It is fantastic. We went on the Boundary Waters trip a couple of months back. Sam took me up there, and the coffee didn't last long.
It was, no. I think I've actually given all of you some, including Brandon. You've tried it, haven't you?
I have, yeah, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, it's good coffee. It's really good coffee. But yeah, so that's the perk of, see what I did there? Of the Operator Coffee. So, yeah, we appreciate everything you do, Casey. So let's talk a couple hunting stories. You hunted in Texas this year, didn't you?
I did. I had the chance to get down to Texas. I went down in June, which is always the best month of the year to pick a hunting trip in Texas because it's 6 degrees.
Yeah,
and we got
and have a nice hot cup of
had
coffee.
A friend of ours. We had a friend of ours that took a nice odd ad and another one that took a Scimitar Horned Oryx. And spent a good time down there on a really great property at Hawks Double Mountain Ranch. It's just a cool place. If you're looking for a place to go that it's technically high fence, but you never know that being on the property, it's absolutely humongous and just a great layout. Man, we had a great time down there. And I was really in host mode, so I did get a chance to shoot some hogs with night vision, and that was
nice.
Fun. But we were out getting people some animals and taking care of some other guys, so we had a good time with that.
Hey, well, Casey, the name of the show, hang on a second, is The Four Outdoorsmen. You just named two, and we're supposed to know what the hell we're talking about. You just named two animals I never heard of.
Please describe.
Yeah, describe
well,
them. Yeah.
Well, they're not native to the U.S., so you're probably not supposed to know. But a lot, that's one great thing about Texas is they've got a lot. They got actually got a lot of ranches, and they have a lot of African animals and Asian and European animals that they bring in. So it gives people a chance to get out and go after something that they don't. I didn't know anything about these two animals before we got out after them either. And man, what a cool experience to learn something new. I grew up in the Northwest, and am a mule deer hunter and an elk hunter and a bear hunter, and that's you know, the North American species that I kind of grew up familiar with. So it was a good treat for me, too.
Yeah, good for you.
Now, Casey, I know you just got back from Idaho a couple weeks ago hunting with your dad, and you were telling me a little bit on the phone. How long has your dad hunted that same spot for elk?
I think this is his 54th year hunting the same region, same area. This was my 42nd year in the mountains, but, you know, 32nd year, I think, hunting in the same area with my dad every single year. I spent a few years there hunting with my grandfather. I had aunts, uncles that have hunted there. My brother hunts there. So we've kind of had this family tradition. You know, most of my family vacation memories growing up come from the same place. And it's just been one of those great treats that as you get around the country and you work and you meet a lot of people, you realize kind of how rare that is these days. So I'm really thankful for that. So I had a chance to get out again with my dad this year, and we archery hunted for elk. And I didn't get a chance to get on one this year, which with archery is fairly common. About 3 days after I left, Dad got his spike this year and got his elk down. So pretty good year overall.
Out of those 54 years that your dad has hunted there, how many years was he successful?
Oh, I'll bet it's over 40.
Wow.
He's always made it his priority in life. It's kind of his happy place. It's his spiritual reset place to get out and get elk hunting. And he had a lot of years of rifle hunting where, man, I remember, I don't know that there was a year that I can remember during rifle season that he didn't end up with an elk. I'm sure there was one, but there wasn't very many. Archery, there's been a few more because it's a little bit different animal, but man, the guy's pretty good. He knows a lot about elk. So, he knows his stuff.
Hey, Casey, Mark here. So most elk hunting you see out west, and I haven't done it in person. I've only watched many, many, many shows about it. But most times it seems like really long shots across ravines, like 300-yard-plus shots. How on earth do you get close enough to an elk to shoot it with a bow?
Well, I would tell you, first of all, my rifle hunting, I rifle hunted for probably about 20 years. And my longest rifle shot, and I killed an elk almost every year rifle hunting, was 150 yards. So it depends on where you're hunting, of course. If you're open and expansive in big ravines, we had timber draws and open ridges and nothing's too big across. So it wasn't really that bad as far as distance goes. And on the archery side, the archery season in Idaho is during the rut. So you move slow, you spend a lot of time descenting, you play the wind. The wind is your friend. And you do just a little bit of calling, and you just kind of, you know, get close enough to the elk and let them do the rest, kind of let them work it out. It takes getting into position, and then it takes a whole lot of luck from there. So
with your mouth, give your best elk call. Just kidding.
There it is.
Hey, Casey, what kind of bow do you use, and how far can you accurately shoot? I mean, how far would an elk have to be? How close would it have to be before you'd feel comfortable shooting?
Yeah, I have a bow tech, and my dad shoots a Matthews, and I've only had two different bows ever, and I think he's on his third bow. He's been bow hunting a few years longer than I have. We're not gear junkies. A lot of guys will put a new bow together and go out with the top of the line new tech every year, and yeah, man, bows are really, really solid these days. So. Yeah. We got ours set up and we hunt with ours the same bow pretty much every year now. And I would say I feel comfortable at the 50. My dad probably would say he feels comfortable at the 70. I've seen him make those shots before and he's a heck of a shot with a bow.
You're talking about the tradition you guys have gone through and your dad hunting the same area for 54 years or whatever. I don't have to be told this, but you're extremely blessed to be able to do this with your dad for so long, because it's nothing lasts forever. And we have a hunting shack in Ely, Minnesota called the Polish Palace, and it's 1961 it was built, and it's still there, still being used. But I spent a lot of years up there with my dad and uncles and brothers, whatnot, and pretty much they're all gone and no one's hunting anymore. But that's where all the memories are. You can't put a dollar value on those memories.
Absolutely not. I mean, it's his statement is he's going to get out there until he can't get out there anymore, and I'd be lying if I said he's not slowing down, but he still gets out every day, and he was out hunting by himself the day he got his elk and processed it himself and took the horse up and got it off the mountain himself. So
Jesus.
You know, he's pretty able body, and we hope that we get a number of years. And he's got brothers that aren't with us anymore, so you know, we just kind of take it a year at a time, and it's a blessing every time we can get out there for sure.
Casey Betzhold of Operator Coffee, thanks for being on the 4 Outdoorsman. I'll tell you what, I know you got that Roast 22, and to think about how many veterans commit suicide every day. That's about the average of every day, 22. Well, let's get that down to about zero. And someday I want to see a Roast Zero coffee from Operator Coffee. That might happen.
For sure.
It might happen.
That would be a happy day, for sure.
Well, Casey, man, I really appreciate you taking the time to come on and tell your story, tell the Operator Coffee story. Before you go, if you could just tell the listeners real quick how they can buy the coffee, try it out, and help out, let them know where they can go here.
Well, the easiest way to get it today is operatorcoffee.com. We got a lot of things in work here in the last month, actually, with some large outdoor companies that are looking at picking the product up. So what we're hopeful is that the next time we get a chance to visit here in a few months, there'll be a lot of shelves to buy it off of, too. We have a number of dealers out there, but the easiest place for people to find it, both the dealers that are carrying it and the online store, is operatorcoffee.com. So check it out, and know you're doing a good thing when you buy the coffee, and when the coffee shows up, it's a great product. So appreciate everybody's support, and thanks to you guys for having me on.
Well, thank you, man, for all you do. Honestly, it means a lot. I'm a big veteran supporter. We all are. So thanks for fighting the fight, and we appreciate it. And thanks for coming on the 4 Outdoorsman, man.
Absolutely. You guys have a great rest of your weekend.
Take care, too, Casey. Sir. Take care.
Yep. See you. Bye-bye.
That's a special man there.
Yeah, good guy right there.
Speaks well. He's got the right ideas, doesn't he?
Yeah, and, you know, it's someone who actually, you see a lot of people, you know, I'm guilty of that, saying, you know, I support veterans, I support this, I support that, but he's out doing it, you know, he's fighting the fight and doing what he can, and kind of makes me think I need to do more sometimes.
So right now, Operator Coffee cannot be purchased in stores?
There are some stores. There are a few bigger retailers that we're working on right now, but you can get it online. They actually have a really cool operator subscription club where you can get it monthly. So and it's a premium roasted coffee.
It's very, very good.
They call it a small batch roast, where they only roast
like microbrew kind of.
Yeah, they only roast like Starbucks roasts 4,500 pounds of coffee at a time. Like, that's impossible to get good flavor. Operator Coffee's roasted at like 50 pounds.
I was there watching it roast, and you think a coffee factory, you think you're going to walk into like a brewery where it's like huge vats. Yeah. No, it's like some girls, you know, mixing a bag at a time, and you're like, wow, this is, it was way smaller than I thought. And it's cool that they can, such a small place can make that much coffee, because you're like, wow, I mean.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, is the smaller the batch stuff is, the better tasting coffee. You know, they know exactly what temperature to roast it at for how long, and it's 50 pounds, so it's getting the best of it. So yeah, it is great coffee. It really is. So I would recommend at least trying it. So
do you know how many employees they have there, Mark? You were there.
I would say it's under 20, maybe 15 or so.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a family style group. I mean, everyone there was just super cool at Driven Coffee. Check them out as well. So let's, who do we have next, Drew?
Well, we've got a young man named Clint Fitzgerald. He's a conservation officer out of Rochester. He's got a lot of great stories. Be right back. Hey, Strew Man here for Devil's Lake Tourism. It's not a secret that Devil's Lake is known for fantastic fishing, but now is the time for you to double up with your annual Cast and Blast. Devil's Lake is also known for some of the best bird hunting in this country, so hey, you can shoot a few pheasants in the morning and maybe catch a few walleyes in the afternoon. That, my friends, is just about the perfect day. Hey, bring your fishing rod, bring your shotgun, bring your family. For more information, simply go to devilslakend.com. Hey, and thanks.
If you happen to drive by the Bob FM studios on Sunday night, you might notice a sweet new Ram 1500 sitting in the parking lot. Yep, that baby's mine, and I got it from McKay's Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Waite Park. Sam here for my friends at McKay's. Ram trucks are built for the outdoorsmen like me and my family, and there's no better place to get yours than McKay's. Visit McKay's in Waite Park just west of St. Cloud, or shop online at McKaysDodge.com. Even my family loves it.
We love McKay's. 'Tis the season of camping, boating, and fishing, and you don't want to be left out because your trailer's broken. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove can fix it and get you back to the outdoors. Crystal Welding offers a wide variety of services, including welding, maintenance, and repairs for all types of trailers. Crystal Welding is your one-stop shop for all of your trailer needs. Go to crystalwelding.com for more information. Crystal Welding. Solutions. Service. Results.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. No jobs are small because we do it all.
Looking for a great way to escape with the family? There's plenty of time this year to get out on the water. Mark here with the Four Outdoorsmen. Power Lodge has pontoons in stock for every boating passion now with immediate delivery. Now's the time to benefit with huge discounts on Ranger, Low, and Godfrey pontoons. Low APR financing makes now the best time to buy. Power Lodge is right down the street from our studio on Highway 10 in Ramsey, Minnesota. Go visit my friends at Power Lodge. Call 763-576-1706 or shop 24/7 at powerlodge.com.
Get a $35 certificate to Aurelio's Pizza in Ramsey for only $19. Limited quantities are available, so head on over to dealsonradio.com.
Deals on radio. Deals on radio.
For months, we've all done our best to stay safe. But to remain safe in the long run, it's up to us all to take actions that don't just slow the spread of COVID, but collectively overcome it. That means getting a test if you have any symptoms, answering the phone if your health department calls, wearing a mask in public spaces. We all want to regain what we love in life. To get there, we all need to go forward and do our part. Sponsored by Minnesota Department of Health, aired in cooperation with the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey, Brandon from the Homegrown Show here from MyPillow.com. I've been a MyPillow customer ever since Mike Lindell's magical invention saved my family vacation. The hotel that we were staying at had the worst pillows in the world. After the first sleepless night, something had to be done. I ran to the local store and I picked up a couple of MyPillows. Now, there were many pillows to choose from, but I like that MyPillows are made right here in Minnesota, and I knew a bit of Mike Lindell's story, so the choice was easy. That night, I had what felt like the deepest, most satisfying sleep of my life. The rest of the trip was great. When I got home, I threw my old pillows away immediately, and I've used those MyPillows every night since, and you better believe I bring them with me when I travel now. And now with the MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets, I have a new standard of comfort. The world's best cotton provides an ultra-soft, breathable fabric that feels so luxurious you'll never want to sleep on anything else ever again. Go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code Bob for buy one, get one free on Giza Dream Sheets, MyPillow Towels, and of course, that famous MyPillow.
Total Country Bob FM.
Round two with Super Stew. What's all you got to talk about sponsors? Go ahead, Mark. What do you got to say?
Well, we couldn't do this show without our awesome, awesome sponsors. So thank you, Power Lodge in Ramsey, Minnesota. They have some great deals at the end of the season. So go check them out. You can search their inventory online. Power Lodge is a great place. I'll be winterizing my boat again there this year because I was so happy with it. That's another thing they offer. So if you're thinking about a place, they have some storage options. They have winterizing options. Go to Power Lodge. I want to thank, he starts in October, but thank Bill Katz, who I think is going to join us next week. He just texted me and said he's in. With Katz Covers, great guy, great company. Don't lose your stuff down the hole. Get a Katz cover. They're super strong. You can stand on them. He'll tell you more about that next week. We have Clam, again, sponsoring us this year. Thank you so much for Clam. There's no better company for your ice fishing gear. And with probably no ice fishing show and stuff, go to Clam. Outdoors online and pick out some stuff or go to your local retailer and support Clam because they're local and they make a great product.
Devil's Lake Tourism. Love them, boy. We're off there as often as we can get there. And a lot of my friends go out there regularly, and I just love hearing the stories when they come back. So go to Devil's Lake Tourism anytime you want. You can, right now it's about time for the cast and blast. Shoot pheasants in the morning, catch walleyes in the afternoon.
McKay's Dodge, winter's coming. Get yourself a nice Ram truck to get you through the winter, whether you're ice fishing, hunting, or just need to be safe on the road. Check out McKay's Dodge in Waite Park. Travis Benoit, the owner, tell them the Four Outdoorsmen sent you, and they'll take awesome care of you. McKay's Dodge.
Cool. I'll tell you what, the gentleman we're going to talk to right now is Clint Fitzgerald, and he's excited about this phone call because he's a conservation officer, and no one's going to holler at him. See, this is all good stuff. Hey, Clint, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Clint Fitzgerald's out of by Rochester someplace, right?
Yep, I have the Rochester South Station.
Okay. And how long have you been a conservation officer?
Going on 3 years this winter.
Why? I mean, why did you want to do this job?
I got to tell you, it's the most exciting and rewarding thing that I've done up to this point.
How old are you?
I'm 32.
So you started kind of late to get into that gig. Well, good for you. You know, it's because it's the DNR and conservation officers take a lot of crap, and whether it's justified or not, it's none of my business. But man, it's like being working in lost luggage at the airport. You know, it's people just don't have enough respect for what you guys do too often, in my opinion.
Yep, we're the face of the DNR, so regardless of what area they're concerned with, we're usually the people that field the complaint.
Yeah.
But that's really what we're used to.
Well, every time we have a conservation officer on, and by the way, I'm Steve Strusinski. We spoke today, Struman. Mark Lukey's here, and Sam is with us as well. You talk to them as well, and Brandon's behind the glass. But every time we have a conservation officer on, Mark likes to share his story. We'll do it. We got time. And you tell us what you would have done. Mark was duck hunting last year. Tell him what happened, Mark.
Well, I like to preface it as in I broke the law mistakenly. So I understand why I got a ticket. But Stru likes to give me crap. But last year when I went duck hunting, or that was a couple years ago, I just moved into a new house. My hunting gear was not as organized as it should have been. Had a friend call me and say, hey, let's go duck hunting tomorrow. I grabbed my bag, grabbed my shotgun, and had a great day. I think we maybe got one duck. Came back and got checked, and in the bottom of my shell bag, there was one lead shell. Because it got mixed with my pheasant upland load, there was one shell in there. I did not use it, I swear. But I got a ticket. So I apologize, but we'd like to... Would you have given me a warning since you seem like a really nice guy? Or would you throw the book at me?
Well, I gotta tell you, I treat everyone the same way.
Good. Okay. Yep. I did not throw my credentials to this other guy either.
Say again?
I did not throw my big shot credentials out to this other guy because I realized I was in the wrong.
Yeah, don't you know
who
I am?
Yeah, well, that's the right way to do that. You know, it won't get you in a good position if you try to throw your weight around regardless of who you are or what you do.
So. What was the fine? How much was it?
It was $100-some,
yeah.
I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, Clint, would you have given him a ticket?
Well, I'm going to say no comment on that one.
Well, then I'm not going to tell you my story, how I got busted ice fishing last year when I was away from my...
Yeah, well, you got to tell your story now. I told my story.
No, because I deserved mine more than... I was more than 100 feet away from my fish hole, not even thinking about it, and come back to the fish house, and there's a conservation officer there. It looked like Barney Fife, and I got tagged. It was $125 for leaving an unattended line, so... But it's just, so I'm getting my $125 worth by sharing.
We like
the story.
To tell our listeners our sob stories just to, you know, remind them to follow the rules.
There you
that's
go.
Why.
Hey,
oh,
Clint.
Yeah, everything's out there to protect the resource, so that's where they're coming from.
Hey, Clint, you and Annette, is it Kylo or Kilo? Is it Kylo or Kilo?
Kylo.
All right, Kylo. We're working together apparently and in Rochester someplace, September 4th, early September, and something that you've never seen before. You had a chance to witness and be part of. Describe what happened to everybody, would you please?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was on my way home, and I got a call from a concerned landowner because he found two bucks that were locked together in one of his bean fields. And they were they had been there for some time. He obviously didn't come up on them initially after it happened. So he was concerned that, you know, they're going to expire because they've been fighting for so long. So he wanted to see if we could do anything to help out the situation. So it took me about half an hour or so to actually get to where the bucks were locked together south of Rochester. And showed up to the scene, and the situation had not changed. And it didn't appear that they were moving around a whole lot, so I thought that we were going to be able to separate them pretty easily. But as we approached, they started to thrash around a lot and fought for some time. They'd have these brief flurries where they'd run around the place and try and get unlocked, and it was a pretty dangerous situation.
I'll tell you what, you know, you sent us photographs and a little video of these two deer. There were some big racks on those animals. You know, that was those are pretty big deer.
The larger of the two was a 10-pointer.
Yeah,
and the smaller one was an 8-pointer. Both mature bucks. And, you know, both deer that I would have been proud to take if I had the opportunity in the field when I was hunting.
Yeah.
So kind of a sight to see because it's something that I've never seen before either in all my years of hunting and everything like that, just to witness that. But they fought for about half an hour while I was there, and they eventually made their way through the woods and into a creek. And our first thought was that we might not be able to do anything just based on where they're at because of the danger involved. You know, any time that we get involved with any wild animal, for that matter, there's always a certain element of danger because animals are unpredictable.
Yeah.
So we weren't going to put ourselves at risk if there wasn't an opportunity for us to safely help out. So they kept fighting and rolling around, and you could see from the video that I sent to that there were points where either deer could have drowned.
Sure.
If they continued.
Yeah.
And eventually the 10-pointer got in a position where it was holding the 8-pointer underwater, and it drowned. And as soon as that deer was dead, the larger 10-pointer started to get sucked under as well.
You wonder if the big 10-point buck actually made a decision to...
shall I drown this other animal?
To consciously drown that deer. Do you think he knew what he was doing?
Well, I think it was just kind of happenstance that it happened the way that it did. I don't think that it was really aware that it was drowning the other deer. I think it was just continuing to fight, and it just so happened that the other deer was underwater, just based on what I saw there. But after that the smaller deer was dead, between myself and CO Kylo, we were making a quick game plan because it was really a now or never kind of situation. We probably had maybe 10 or 15 seconds before that other deer was going to be dead as well. So I jumped into the creek, and I grabbed a hold of the entangled racks and held the bigger deer's head up above the water. And my partner, she grabbed an electric saw that I had, battery-powered, and she started cutting off antlers on the still-living deer so that they could be released. And she cut off two tines, and then I was able to pull them apart. And once they were apart, it wasn't all free and clear because the larger deer was still having a hard time in the water because it was so exhausted. And we were afraid that it was just going to sink under regardless, and there wouldn't be a whole lot that we could do. But after about, 2 or 3 minutes, it was able to figure out getting out of the creek and disappeared into the woods with two less antlers.
Yeah, so now it's an 8-point buck. Talking about that, did you ever consider taking the antlers off of the buck that was deceased so the 10-point buck could remain a 10-point buck?
Well, we did talk about that, but just the way that they were entangled, there wasn't really a good spot to cut without the risk of, harming the still-alive deer. It just would have complicated things if we tried to preserve that rack. And with the rack, the deer doesn't feel it, when we're cutting through it.
Yeah.
Our big concern was that, just the vibration from the saw, it would make it freak out. But it was so exhausted at that point that it really didn't fight a whole lot. So the circumstances were just perfect for us to get a separation and at least save one of the deer.
We've all seen videos of something like this, and when farmers find a buck that's wrapped up in barbed wire or something like that and try to cut all the wire off, and they're that's pretty risky, like you said. But I think you guys had the perfect scenario, because if these deer were on land, there's going to be a lot of resistance to you when they've got some footing and something to stand on to fight away from you. But the fact that they were in the water, that had to be a benefit to you guys.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because they didn't really have, the living deer didn't have any leverage because it was still kind of floating, not having really good footing in the mud or anything like that. So it wasn't able to kick me or to do anything like that. And that's the bigger risk when you're trying to separate entangled deer is getting kicked, more so than the antlers because of the resistance from the other deer and everything like that.
You
could still get gored. It could still happen. But I was more concerned about hooves. But it just worked out perfectly, just the way that it came to be.
Just a question here. I don't know if it's ethical or not, but as a conservation officer, if you were hunting during legal season and you saw two entangled deer, would it be legal to take one?
Yes.
Okay. So that's not an issue in any way?
No. But you got that other deer to deal with.
Right.
If you're with another person, mm-hmm. you could have that other individual fill their tag, and there you go, you're both done, you know?
Two for one.
Or with if you're in an area where it's okay to party hunt for bucks, mm-hmm. then you could have that communication and fill that other tag as well.
Many years. Go ahead,
sir. If you're hunting by yourself, you're going to create a lot of issues.
Right.
Because now you got to deal with this still alive deer.
You were talking about the hooves being such a dangerous weapon for the deer. I saw a photograph years and years ago of a buck that was running through the woods with the head of another deer in its antlers. He literally took his feet and cut off the other deer's head after it was dead. That's those must be weapons. Yeah, you want to stay away from those.
Yeah, I mean, and with like I said before about wild animals, they're unpredictable. So you don't want to risk getting hurt by any one of these things. Like if anyone were to ever run into a situation where they'd like to help out with entangled deer, the best thing to do is to contact a conservation officer, because a lot of us have, well, maybe not a lot, but some of us have dealt with it before. I had partners that I contacted before I got myself involved in this situation to get their opinion on how to deal with it. And we can do it in the safest, most ethical manner. You know, it really just isn't worth the risk of injury for a normal person to get involved and try and separate those animals.
Clint, Sam here, I got a question for you. After you guys got it separated, what did you do with the deceased deer?
So with that, we wanted to get some value out of the situation. It was good that we were able to save one deer. It was an unfortunate situation that we couldn't save the other. But we are going to get the deer tested for CWD just to make sure that isn't in play, and then wildlife has another data point that they can use to determine, you know, how prevalent it is in the area. And then we're going to be donating the antlers from the deer to a wildlife class. Part of their curriculum is they learn how to score antlers, so they're going to use that to show the kids how to do that.
How about the antlers that you cut off, the pieces, those two points? What'd you do with those?
I wish I would have thought of it at the time, but I didn't even think about retaining them, or I don't even know if they floated on the water. I didn't even think about it, but I was actually replaying the situation in my head today, and I was like, wow, that would have been a nice little trophy to put on a desk or something like that.
Exactly what I was thinking. Exactly what I was thinking about. You know, put that in a frame on a wall and have a conversation piece anytime anyone walks in. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Clint, we have about a minute here. With deer season coming up, is there any reminders, safety or rules otherwise that you want to give our hunting listeners?
Yeah, the biggest thing that I can say for safety-wise, as far as hunters should be concerned, is always know your target and what's beyond it. You can take a shot back. If you aren't sure, don't pull the trigger. Don't release the arrow because, an errant shot could result in loss of life or a serious injury to someone else.
Great tip.
I tell you what, Clint Fitzgerald, conservation officer out of the Rochester area, congratulations to both you and conservation officer Kylo, because this is a heck of a story, and you may never duplicate it. But thanks for doing what you do as well. You have a tough job.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, take care of yourself, sir. That's a great story, man.
That'd be crazy. I bet it was a bit adrenaline rush.
Oh, and how many guys like yourselves are going to call the CO? You're going to try to take those deer apart yourselves. You guys
I would have tried.
Yeah, I would have tried for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Me? Yeah. I'd run. No, I would run.
Really quick, when was this? It was this year?
September 4th. Oh, yeah, wow. This year. Yeah. I don't know if he wants to play the music or not, but if not, I'm going to tell a story. My son, Mike.
We got to go here.
I think. Where's our partner then? You got any music over there?
He doesn't have his ears on. Go ahead.
Well, I'll tell the story.
He might interrupt you.
No, that's okay, though. But years ago, my son, Nick, we were at the hunting shack deer hunting season, and we heard two deer. I've never seen them fighting. Heard two deer fighting across the creek south of the hunting shack. Mark's been up there. And you could hear the horns banging back and forth. They'd back up and smash. It was just crazy. So Nick and his buddy snuck through the woods and said, goodbye. We got nothing to do here, but I'll tell you what, we're right back. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the 4 Outdoorsmen. In the meantime, Mark, give our listeners some advice. Would you please?
Get outside and make some memories.